in the Greek text. Otherwise, we will stick with the English, and it is a regeneration. There are two places in the New Testament where regeneration is used, and it is Titus chapter 3 and Matthew chapter 19, verse 28. And first of all, we will turn to that which is used first, and it is Matthew chapter 19, verse 28. And in this passage, we read that that the disciples and Jesus have been talking. And when he tells the disciples that verily I say unto you, a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? Jesus beheld them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Peter said to him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Jesus said to them, verily I say to you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Everyone that hath forsaken houses, brethren, sisters, father, mother, wife, children, or lambs, for my sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. And, our main text is Titus chapter 3 and verse number 5. The context is, starting in verse number 4. After that, the kindness of love our God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration through the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope or expectation of eternal life. This is the faithful saying, these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Now, though the word regeneration is used but two times in the New Testament, and I searched through it and it's not found in the Old Testament. However, regeneration is inferred, implied in many more verses, and the descriptions are many and very important. Searching through the Oxford Dictionary and Thesaurus educates us that regenerate is a verb. It is defined as to bring or come into renewed existence, generate again, improve the moral condition, to impart new, more vigorous, greater spiritual life to a person or institution, to invest with a new and higher spiritual nature, to restore, to be restored to an initial state of reaction or process. Regenerate, used as an adjective, is defined as spiritually born again, reformed, improved. These definitions fit our study of regeneration. And there are the associated words of regenerative, an adjective, and the adverb regenerator, Our focus being regeneration, as used in the Christian Holy Bible. We look in Strong's Concordance, or Dictionary of Words, in the Greek text. This educates us that regeneration is defined as spiritual rebirth, spiritual renovation, spiritual restoration, to renew to good condition. Spiros Zodiotis, in his lexicon aid to the New Testament, included the word recovery. Thayer, in his lexicon of the New Testament, includes the definition the production of the new life consecrated to God and the restoration, the renewal, renovation of a thing or person to its pristine state. Thayer also includes this definition, the glorious change of all things in heaven and earth for the better, the restoration of the primal and perfect condition of things which existed before the fall of our first parents, Adam and Eve. It is evident in his Holy Scripture, the Sovereign Lord God King Jesus purposes and intends to restore his creation to the very good, beautiful, virtuous, excellent condition of state when he created it. And be sure he will do this with completeness of perfection. As stated earlier, regeneration is used but twice in the New Testament, and our first textual study of usage is Titus chapter 3, verse 5, which of course we have already read. The important thing to remember is that people are regenerated are regenerated, for they have believed in God and will be careful or mindful to maintain good works. This, of course, has to do with the restoration. This regeneration, as used in this context, has to do with the regeneration of the soul, spirit, mind, crucifying one flesh of sinful affections and lusts. The Lord God, King Jesus, by way of his indwelling presence, through his Spirit and Scripture, making each of his disciples fit to inherit eternal life in the eternal holy Jerusalem. Let us be reminded of John chapter 6, verses 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Chapter 14, verses 15 to 23. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you the Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. But ye know him, for he abides with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I come to you. Yet a little while, and the world sees me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. The Sovereign Lord God King Jesus, by way of his indwelling Spirit and Scripture, does the regenerating. Like washing with water, the Lord uses the indwelling presence of his Spirit and Scripture, the Holy, to regenerate, renew, renovate, purify the soul, spirit, mind, crucify the flesh of his disciples, the members of his church, of sinful affections and lusts. Realize regeneration has occurred with the individuals making honest confession of conversion to Lord Jesus. We that obey him, Or as we read in Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 8. This, of course, is the parable of the sower. And he said that the seed, which, of course, is scripture, has fallen into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. And further on, we read in verse 23, he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understands it, and therefore brings forth fruit, a fruit of course, salvation, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Titus, in chapter 2, verses 11 to 14, we are educated that the grace of God, referring to the Lord Jesus, has appeared to all persons, whether visibly, as in his first advent at the beginning of the first century A.D., or later by way of his Spirit and Scripture, he has appeared and appears to all persons and teaches us to deny all ungodliness of worldly lusts, to live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, looking for, expecting his second advent, his glorious appearing, for he gave himself for us to redeem us from all iniquity, to purify unto himself his own distinct people, the people that are eager to do good works, that, of course, works of righteousness. And this concept continues, of course, in chapter 3, verses 4 to 8, where, of course, we read that those who are looking for the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior will be mindful to maintain good works, that of course being works of righteousness. Sovereign Lord God, King Jesus, educates us that he purposes, intends that we professing his name, we in whom he has transmigrated his Spirit, the Holy, are and will remain regenerated, renewed, renovated, brought into renewed existence, reformed by the Holy Spirit and Scripture, made heirs of eternal life, even in this present life. We are therefore, even now, citizens in the eternal Holy Jerusalem, and will evidence so by being careful, mindful, to maintain good works, the works of righteousness, the works that show forth the indwelling presence of Sovereign Lord God, King Jesus, by way of his Spirit and Scripture, purging, purifying the soul, spirit, mind, crucifying the flesh of his disciples, the members of his church. John chapter 3. And verses 3 through 21. This, of course, is the man by the name of Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews, came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these things that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus said to him, Verily, verily, I say to thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus asked, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say to thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said to thee, Ye must be born again. The reason the Lord said that, some people say that he was having fun with Nicodemus, but it's not in the place of the Lord to have fun. it should have been common knowledge. The wind of the Lord said, marvel not that I say to thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell from whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus asked, how can these things be? The Lord said, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation. Light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds be reproved. He that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. This is the narrative of Nicodemus consulting Jesus is used by many to explain regeneration. Many commentators also include the term a new birth to include with that which is described of regeneration, born again, born of the Spirit. And of course, born from above, born anew, a new creation. This narrative is important also in that it is one of many connectors the New Testament has with the Old Testament. When Jesus and Nicodemus had their meeting, there was no New Testament text. The Old Testament Hebrew and Old Testament Hebrew, translated in Greek, the Septuagint, were the scriptures from which Nicodemus and other masters or teachers in Israel should have learned and realized an individual must be born again, born anew, begin to live the new manner of life by repenting, forsaking the old manner of living, being born again, renovated by way of sovereign Lord God imparting spiritual life, his divine nature into the genuine convert, the genuine believer. Pastor Bereza, in the sermon of June the 2nd, used one of the many Old Testament narratives, Isaiah chapter 1, verses 16 and 19. And the context is from verse 10 to, 20. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams, and the fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks or lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand, to tread my courts, bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity even the solemn meeting, your new moons, your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble to me. I am weary to bear them. When ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yes, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Realize the sovereign Lord God is comparing Jerusalem, Judah, Israel, in the day there in the days of Isaiah, to Sodom and Gomorrah of Genesis, chapters 14, 18, and 19. For they, in the days of Isaiah, were engaged in the same and very type of sin that they did in Sodom and Gomorrah. Ezekiel chapter 8 gives full explanation. And the Lord God self-manifest in human flesh, Jesus is telling Nicodemus and the Jews in the years of 30 AD through 33 AD, even as he tells all persons by way of the Christian Holy Bible in this year of 2019, especially we claiming to be Christians. We professing his name, the name of the Lord, I observance of ritual, observance of ceremonial activity, and ceremonial laws will never suffice for genuine regeneration, conversion, sanctification, consecration, repentance, obedience to his theology, his philosophy, his wisdom, his disciplines in righteousness. These are the evidences of regeneration, the evidences of born again, born of the Spirit, born from above, whether in the Old Testament or the New Testament. Verses 16 through 20 in Isaiah chapter 1. Though these verses are short, they speak much of that which we read in the New Testament. Verse 20, where it says, if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. This indeed should remind us of Revelation, chapter 19, and verses 11 through 21. In which the Apostle John received vision from the Lord, and he records that he saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in white linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he shall smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, the flesh of all men, free and bond, small and great. And he saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. The beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Remember, the New Testament complements and completes the Old. Nicodemus and other Jewish masters or teachers before and after him are without excuse, for many are the chapters and verses in Old Testament Scripture excoriating the Jews for their unfaithfulness, their pretense, their degeneracy. They did not receive the warnings of the terror, the punishment that would come from the invaders, from Assyria and Babylon. Let's see, it has to be said about Nicodemus. Nicodemus cannot be criticized too much because, as we know, with Joseph of Arimathea, they took the Lord's body and put it in the tomb. We also have to realize, and I read this through Zion's fire, that there is a tradition that Nicodemus, for his conversion and testimony of the Lord, he lost his position, he lost his wealth, he lost his house, his property, he was excommunicated, and of course he lost the fellowship of his family. So we have covered briefly Isaiah chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. Let us look a little more at some others. Jeremiah and chapter 2, verse 21. In verse 21, we find the only Christian Holy Bible usage of the word degenerate, the opposite of regenerate, the opposite of regeneration. In Old Testament Hebrew, degenerate, translated into English, is spelled a C-U-W-R, and is pronounced sewer. The same as the sewer, S-E-W-E-R. Sovereign Lord God established the Jews in the land he promised them to be his trustworthy, faithful, true people and nation. But most of them, 90% plus, were adulterous and had become as aliens, foreigners, strangers, unrelated to him. Instead of being as the very best of sweet grapes, they had become bitter, and the sovereign Lord God compares degenerate persons with bitter grapes and with wild animals, feral animals, in heat, for with abandonment they pursue after every idol and sin they desire. In Jeremiah 2, verses 21, 23, and 24, we read, "Yet I had planted thee a noble vine, a right seed. How then art thou turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me?" Verse 23, as we know back then, and even now, people question, how can you say that I am not polluted? So the people ask, how canst thou say I am not polluted? I have not gone after Balaam. See thy way in the valley. Know what thou hast done. Thou art a racing camel, traversing her ways, a wild mule, or rather a donkey, used to the wilderness, that snuffs up the wind at her pleasure. In her occasion, who can turn her away? All that seek her will not weary themselves. In her month, they shall find her. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 21, comparing idol-worshiping Jews with a strange, a foreign grapevine, must remind us of John, and in John chapter 15, verses 1 to 6. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man does not abide in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. It also should remind us of Revelation, chapter 14, and verses 14 through 20. The Apostle John writing, of course, that he looked, and behold, a white cloud. And upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap. For the harvest of the earth is ripe, and he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar which had power over fire, and cried with a loud voice to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden throughout the city. Blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse's bridle, by the space of 1,600,000 furlongs. We as Christians, I have to get back to my place. Remember and learn the regenerate, are they careful to maintain good works, works of righteousness? John chapter 5, verse 39. Search the scriptures, for in them ye believe ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. This, of course, is also, again, one of the many New Testament verses connecting with the old. For when our Lord and King spoke these words, the only scripture available was the Old Testament Hebrew, and the Hebrew translated into Greek in the Septuagint. And many of the Old Testament scripture texts that testify of Lord Jesus testify or imply regeneration. Remember, Lord Jesus is the Lord God, self-manifest in human flesh. In Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 24, we read about the man Enoch. He walked with God. Chapter 6, verses 8 and 9, and verse 22, and chapter 7, verses 1 and 5, we read that Noah found favor with God, for he walked with God. Chapter 12, verse 1. Abraham, or rather Abram, later renamed Abraham. Just as the Lord God commanded Abraham, Abraham began to journey to the land God showed him. So by way of the Spirit and Scripture, God, Lord Jesus, has manifested himself to us, made us members of his church, as citizens in his kingdom, and in this present life, we have begun to journey to that kingdom. Chapter 37. And 39 through 50, we read about Joseph, the son of Jacob. He refrained from sin. Exodus, we read about Moses and Joshua and Caleb. We read in, of course, in Genesis, or rather Exodus. And chapter 33, and verse number 10. How that Moses and his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, went into the temple. And let me find it here. And it happens, it says, they entered into the tabernacle. The cloudy pillar descended, stood at the door of the tabernacle. The Lord talked with Moses. All the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. The people rose up and worshiped, every man in his tent door. The Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as man speaketh to his friend. Moses turned again into the camp, but the servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And later on, let's see, foremost, we read in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17, the same that later we read in Deuteronomy chapter 5. And in there we read, of course, about the Ten Commandments. These things are important to remember, just as the Lord our God, which brought Israel out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, so the Lord our God has brought us out from the house of bondage to sin. Therefore, we must not have any other gods before him. We must not make any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, in the earth beneath, in the waters beneath the earth, that we bow down ourselves to them nor serve them. Why? For the Lord our God is a jealous God. He visits the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy on the thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. It is a strange thing. Most people always think of taking the Lord's name in vain as a particular word or wordings, but it is just as much to take the Lord's name in vain when a person claims to be a Christian and they are not. For the Lord will not hold that person guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Keep the Sabbath day holy, to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded it. 6 days thou shalt labor and do thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, nor your family, nor the manservant, maidservant, nor any of your animals or anything else that you have. Let's see, we should honor our fathers and mothers. We should not kill. We should not commit adultery. Neither shalt thou steal, neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbor, and we will not be envious of any property or any wife that our neighbor has. In chapter 6, we read these words, Hear, O Israel, or Hear, O Christian, The Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou art in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. And in chapter 7 and verse number 6, we are reminded that thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto him above all the people that are upon the face of the earth. That in turn should also remind us of Titus chapter 2 and verses 11 through 14. In Joshua chapter 5, verse 15, part E, we read that Joshua, this was in all probability the last time that he would address the people of the nation of Israel. And he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, because of the fact that we are a New Testament people, in this particular study, Regeneration Part A, we are going to conclude here because of the fact that we are a New Testament people. There is very much more to be learned from the Old Testament because the people realized, particularly the prophets, that the Lord had given the people commandments and they were to be obeyed. So at this point, we have one passage to look at, and that is Psalms. Psalm 24. And in this psalm, what we read here, David wrote this, and it is a descriptive of what the Jewish people were to be like. It is a descriptive of what we as Christians are to be like. And we read this. Who shall ascend? This starts in verse 3 of chapter 24. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity or idols, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessings of righteousness from the Lord, the God of his salvation. This is the Lord's generation, the eternal generation, the generation of they that seek the Lord, that they may see his face. And we do this, let us be, of course, also reminded to be mindful, careful, to maintain good works. That is all for today. Amen.